going over Proverbs 6, the seven things that Yahweh hates, seven things that are an abomination. Just to give you a little bit of a visual, just to notice that on this, you see like false witnesses who lies. You got the mind, haughty eyes, the lying tongue, the heart. You see the hand and the feet, and all of them together ends up sowing discord. It causes division when it's the wicked lamp. So I thought this was very interesting when I saw this, because it gives you a good visual that these are the very members of our body, and they become instruments. Members of our body, but they're used as instruments, just like these guys up here and the gals up here that are playing their instruments, and they're used. They can either be used to glorify the Father, or they can be used to glorify Satan. Okay, and that's what you have in this. So I put instruments for, with a question mark. So what are our instruments used for? This is what this teaching has been about. This is very, very important. But I want to do so. I got a little bit of a change. I didn't write it up here, but I want you to go to Genesis chapter 3 first before we pick up into the instruments. The reason why in this study, like I said, I'm going through Halisa's workbook, and I'm only in chapter 1. And there's so many layers that she has, but it's so important because, guys, it's like in anything else in life, if you don't have a great foundation, anything else you build on that foundation is shaky. I mean, if your foundation's not level, or if it's not square, then everything you build on it's not square. I don't care. Then what do you have to do to make it look good? You have to put falsities on it. You have to put niceties. You have to put bling bling on it. You got to do whatever you have to do to try to hide what? Imperfections. Our Heavenly Father is not in the business of hiding imperfections. He is in the business of perfecting us. Amen. He's in the business to perfect us, not hide imperfections. Are we imperfect people? Absolutely. That's why He died for our sins. This is the reason why He gave us the Holy Spirit, and He gave us His Word to help us work out the imperfections. But it starts in the mind first as it goes on to the body. But with that, I wanted to read, because also where I was heading is this, is we're heading into the book of Revelation. And by heading into the book of Revelation, Revelation is unfolding before our very eyes. We are right in the very midst of things that's going on in our life. And it is definitely like whenever the Holy Spirit fell at Shavuot during that day when Peter was there, that's when he said, this is what was prophesied by Joel. This is what's happening now is what's been prophesied, what we're walking through by the prophets. Now we need to figure out where we are in this stage. Am I ringing? I feel like I'm ringing all over the place. No, you're not ringing? It's just your ears are ringing, not my ears ringing? Okay, good. I was just talking a little bit so he could work it out. So here's what's happening with this. In Revelation, in the book of Revelation, there's four women. Okay? Just want you to think about this as I read this verse in Genesis. But in the book of Revelation, there's four women. I'm going to tell you who they are in just a minute. But this is what happens. Verse 14, I'll start there. Because the serpent deceived Eve, the woman. So this is what he said to him. He says, Yahweh Elohim said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, in the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Now, it would have probably been nice right here if he'd have said, away with you and just kill him and get rid of him. But instead, he leaves him to linger. But then he says something in verse 15. He said, I will put enmity between you and who? The woman. So now, Satan, the serpent, there's an enmity that has been placed by Elohim between him and the woman. Okay? And he says, and between something else. Between your offspring and her offspring. So guess what, guys? Satan has an offspring. There's evil spirits, and there's wicked people. This is why you have Proverbs 6. There is a wicked lamp. There is a righteous lamp. But there is enmity between these two. This has been going on since the beginning, and this is definitely going on during the book of Revelation. So you see that I put enmity between your offspring, he has offspring, and hers. He shall bruise your head, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now with that said, let's go to Romans 6, and let's just park there for a moment. Romans 6, I'm going to read two verses, 12 and 13. While you're going there, the four women of Revelation, one of them is Jezebel, one of them is Israel, one of them is the Scarlet Woman, and one is the Bride of Messiah, Yeshua's wife. And you will see through the whole book of Revelation, there's enmity between these two, which is four. But you're going to see how they're playing together. This is why Halisa is so right in what she's saying is, if you don't understand the Torah, you cannot understand the book of Revelation. Because Revelation is a Torah portion. It's written that way. It's written that way to people who understand the Torah so that you can understand what the signs of the times are. The problem is we're now learning and we're learning more and more. We have catch up to do sometimes. But how many books do you think that's written about end times? A couple of million, yeah. And do they all agree? No. Why do they not all agree? Because most of them don't have a foundation. Their foundation's not the Torah. Their foundation is not Genesis. Their foundation is not that there's enmity between the serpent and the woman. And if there's enmity between the serpent and the woman in the beginning, is there going to be enmity with the serpent and the woman in Revelation? Absolutely. Revelation 12 will tell you that. When the serpent went after the man-child and couldn't get to him, what did he do? He turned on the woman. And Yahweh protected the woman. He protected Israel. So there's enmity and there's seeds, and all of this is warring and it's been going on. This is why it is so important that we have to understand what oil is in our tank. We talked about what oil are we putting the Torah and the Spirit in us? Are we putting humanism and all of its spirits in us? It's one or the other, and whatever you have in there is what's flickering and burning in your life, is what's shining forth, is what I'm trying to say. Tammy mentioned something just then. Just guys, if there's a mixture in there, it causes problems. When we're mixing the world with the things of Yahweh, let me just say it. The world and things of Yahweh's mix equals the world. It never equals Yahweh. Yahweh in His Word and His Spirit always equals Yahweh and what He's doing. It equals His Son, Yeshua. But when you start mixing, when you have a golden calf, I don't care if you think you're worshiping Yahweh through that golden calf. They went back to Egypt and they had that paganism. This is what's happened in Christianity today. There's such a mixture, and because of the mixture, this is why we're just a beat up and battered church. We're just a beat up and battered people in a congregation. But the Father is showing us, He's revealing, and hopefully and prayerfully, there is a remnant that is getting this and is being able to speak forth. But here's why I'm saying this. Judgment comes to the house of what? Yahweh first. It just does. So I just wanted to just really go over this for a foundation. We've just been doing some foundational things for us to, we're getting, Elul's going to be next month. There's a lot of stuff that's happening. We just need to make sure that we got the right oil in our lamps. Okay, verse 12 in Romans, it says this. Now he's talking to believers here. Okay, he says, let not sin therefore, what? Reign or have dominion in your mortal bodies. Paul is warning the church here. He's warning the congregation. He's warning the people of Elohim here. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Verse 13. Do not present your members to sin as what? As instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to Elohim as though who have been brought from death to life, and your members to Elohim as instruments for righteousness. So it just shows you he's using, and I just believe this. I believe Paul is using this terminology because of Proverbs 6. Because there's instruments. Our mind, the way we think, our eyes, our tongue, our heart, our hands, our feet. Either all of these instruments, if we do this for righteousness, it brings unity in the body. It brings a body walking together as Yeshua is our head and we're his body. We're his bride. But if you're in this, it's bringing disunity. It's sowing discord amongst the body who's trying to come together. You see what I'm saying? So this is why I believe Paul is using this language as instruments. So for us, we just need to make sure what sound are we making. But there again, we talked about this before. This is foundational. Our mouth and our walk have to line up. Amen? It has to line up. You can't be walking one and saying one something else. That's what this is about. Okay, let's go to Psalms 101. Now, I chose this psalm for a certain reason. Oh, you know what? While you're going to Psalm 101, I just wanted to quickly just cover some things. I'm not going to go into an in-depth teaching. I just wanted to read about haughty eyes, the heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that run rapidly to evil. I just want to just give you, without going into teaching and just bringing out scenarios like I did with Korah, whenever he had rebellion and all that, I just wanted to bring some of these things out. There's a difference between pride and haughty eyes, just to let you know this. There's a pride that is good, there's a pride that says okay, and then there's a pride that's not okay. But haughty eyes is different. Haughty eyes is this. It is a negative expression towards people. Haughty eyes may or may not have anything in particular that they're proud of, but they feel and believe that others are inferior. That's what haughty eyes is I'm always better than you. You can't, that's what Yahweh hates. He hates somebody who's Jezebel had haughty eyes. Wasn't painted eyes, but they were haughty eyes. You know, probably both, but you see, she was inferior. Everybody else was inferior to her. She was a princess that was raised in a very wealthy situation and was given to Ahab. And the children of Israel were very conservative. They didn't have this luscious, crazy life that she was used to. She got married in because they were trying to do an alliance between two nations. But yet, she takes over, and she's going to bring the worship of Baal or Baal into the children of Israel, and a lot of them hated it. But yet, the king, Ahab, he just wasn't a strong leader. He allowed that spirit to rule the house, and not only did it rule his house, it ruled the nation until he had to send a prophet there to expose that. You see, in the book of Revelation, we have opportunities in the book of Revelation to do what the Torah says to do, but there is a strong spirit that's going to tell you that it's going to push the body of Messiah down. It happened back then, it's going to happen again, and it's happening today. Whenever they will continue, and I'm not going to quit saying this, whenever they will sit there in the Supreme Court and everybody else will turn around and tell you that you can't meet in church, that you can't have gatherings together, and you're going to be limited to 50 or you're going to be limited to 10 or whatever, and these people are rioting in the streets by the thousands. Where is the reasoning? Where is the equity? There is none. So it shows you who's ruling. Who's ruling this? We are set here as a people, as the body of Messiah. The body of Messiah, he's our head. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he says, I give you gifts. I give you authority. I give you power over and to take dominion over this place. But because we haven't taken dominion, there is another seed in Genesis that is taking over, and it's the seed of the serpent. And they're sitting there taking over and saying, you know what? I can march. And then you got the seed of the serpent sitting up in Washington. And sitting all around, I'm talking about as a whole in the political realm. Why do they call it the deep state? Because it's deep. It runs deep in there, and it is a state. It's a deep state. In other words, they don't have to follow the Constitution. They don't have to follow the rules. But, boy, they want me and you to follow them. And then they want to be able to legislate on a whim. That's what they're doing right now. They're legislating on a whim. Just because I think it's the right thing to do, or I think it's a good thing to do, and this is what's happening. The Father is allowing this to happen for us so that we can realize and understand this is what's really coming down the pike in the future. What's happening now, people don't even, there's so much confusion. There's so much confusion in every state house. There's so much confusion in the big house. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of confusion. But the Father is trying to reveal to the people. What did he always say in Revelation after he addressed the church? He who has an ear, what? Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the congregations. He's trying to open our ears. He's trying to get the spiritual wax out of there so that we can hear and understand and see what's coming down the pike. That's what this is all about. It was really right there in Genesis the whole time. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman has been at war ever since the beginning. And it will happen until the very end, until the serpent and his seed is cast into the lake of fire. Amen? But he's allowed this because Adam didn't guard and keep. I'm not blaming the woman here, because guys, we're the woman. We are his bride. But at the same time, Yeshua guarded and kept us. And he did not leave us without gifts. He did not leave us without power. He did not leave us alone. Amen? But if we're going to act like and walk like the seed of the serpent, what power can he have if we're in sin? What does it say when somebody's sick? Now, sickness is not a product of everybody's sin. I'm not saying that. But he does say this, that if you're sick, you can call for the elders, and they can pray for you, and you will be healed, and what? Your sins can be forgiven. Do you know he's given you the power to be able to do that? But we're not operating in it as a whole in the body of Messiah. But he's saying we're instruments. He's saying use the instruments that he's given us to be a light, to heal the people, to let the people know. And don't back down because somebody comes up there because you're worried about what somebody's going to think of you. That's out the door now. That's over with, done. I'm tired of this. That's done. It's just you got to stand up. They don't worry about what you think of them. I mean, they'll tell you by four-letter words what they think of you. You know what I'm saying? Words is in French. I don't even know why we call it French. That's probably just, you know, saying something ugly about their language. But they don't mind telling you stuff and calling you names. And here we are trying to be politically correct with niceties. You know, no, the Father, you know what? Just say, be mute in Yeshua's name. Amen. It happened in the Scripture. Did it not? Yeah, amen. We can do it. Paul, when he was the seed of the serpent, was following Paul around, kept saying and badgering him. What did he do? He cast that spirit out of her. And the poor old guy that was making money off of her turned him into the police because it messed with his money. So what does that tell you? When people are doing evil and you come against evil, and if evil's making them money, they ain't going to like it. They're going to turn you over to the police. That's the parallel. That's what it is. That's why they have that out there. People desire to walk in the flesh. In the world, in the serpent, the seed of the serpent, he is trying to feed our flesh. He's trying to give us everything under the sun to feed our flesh. But at the same time, he's so sharp how he can disguise certain things where we're fighting amongst one another, trying to come up with 7 steps to do this, 3 steps to do that, 9 steps to do this. And we try it for 3 months and we feel good. It's like a diet. You know what? Rather than just flat out realize and recognize, I've been making wrong choices in my life. And if I don't quit making wrong choices in my life, I'm never going to get out of this mess that I'm in. That's what we have to do. We have to realize this is why it's foundational. This is why this is so important, because that's why I was saying before, when I said, you know, when somebody says, I'm not totally honest, what does that mean? I mean, when you come to somebody and say, I just wasn't totally honest with you. That's just a polite way of saying, I just flat out lied to you and deceived you, but I want to make it okay. It's not okay. The Father's trying to say, he's trying to rip the veil back and say, guys, this is not okay. We got to know that if we lie, we need to repent. We don't need to be because worried about people's feelings and this, that, and the other. And I'm not saying just, you don't get in other people's business and go out there and just expose. I'm not saying that. But when somebody asks you for the honest truth, give them the honest truth. There's a way that we can do that in love to where we're not trying to say, well, I wasn't totally honest. You know where we have to say that. Amen? Okay, in Psalms 101. I don't know how I got there, but it was good. Okay. I like Psalms 101, and I want us, if you would please, to read this every day for this starting on first day all the way through the sixth day. There's a reason why I want you to read it if I get there. Tammy, I want you to do this. Can you draw? I want you to draw a stick person. No, I want you to draw two sheens up here. Or while she's getting ready to write up two sheens, I'll ask some of the Hebrew guys, if you put two sheens together, what does it spell?
Yeah.
Okay. Six. That's right. It's the number six. We're going to get to that in just a moment. What number is represented in the alphabet of number six? Avav? Avav, okay, sounds good. Man, that's some poor little vavs. Give me some bold, just bold the vavs. That's all you got to do. Because I'm going somewhere with this. Well, I may go there now. As she's drawing this, all right, a vav, because I'm not real good at Hebrew, that's why I'm looking for my scholars here, because I don't want to say something that's too wrong. Usually when you see a vav, it does what? It connects. Boy, you guys are sharp. Y'all really are. Y'all have been paying attention, because instead of the teachers answering, the students are answering. A vav, does a vav not connect? A vav is like the word and. It connects, okay? Now, the number six, okay, is two sheens, and a vav connects. Who was created on the sixth day? Man and beast. Man and beast was created on the same day. A vav, this is first day and second day and third day and fourth day and fifth day and sixth day. Because that's the number six. And all vanav, so here's what I'm saying is in creation, from day one all the way through day six, they're all important. They're all connected. But what happens, do you have that pen? What happens on day seven? Rest. And if you're not resting, then you're vaving. You're just starting. This is different than this. This shows us who we are in Yeshua. What did he say about when we get up here in Exodus 31, when we do the Shema, when we do, it's a sign between this right here, this is a sign that this is man. Man. We're created in the image of Elohim. But if this is not happening, then what's happening? There's a reason why this is here. Just thought that was just interesting. So think about that. We're going to go somewhere because we talked about this. The next one is Shabbat. The Sabbath is foundational. Amen. If we have rest, and we do, we're here and we're doing this because of this, we're doing where we were created in the image of Elohim. If we are as a people who know this and we don't do this, then we're imaging the beast. You see what I'm happening? See what's happening here? And by this right here, this rest on that seventh day, it brings these to where these days can glorify our Heavenly Father, because this is creation. But if we're doing this, then we're not glorifying our Heavenly Father. And we're in the beast nature of things, and so we're operating as the wicked lamb. So remember, we talked about in Revelation, there's four women. We will either be Jezebel, we'll be the scarlet woman, or we'll either be Israel, or we'll be the bride of the lamb. It all happens, really awesome, how Halisa tied these things in. Amen?
I'd like to read what Tom Bradford put years ago. In the verse, it says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Yeshua was saying that it was not necessary for the creation of man in order to bring holiness to the Sabbath, but it was necessary that the Sabbath be created in order that holiness might be brought to man.
Amen. That's it. That's it. This is why this is important. As we are now going forward as River of Life and as the congregation of Hebrew Roots and Messianic and all that, as we go forward, there are going to be people that don't have the concept and they don't know that this is a day of rest yet. They're still treating it as these days. But I believe that the Father, now I'm talking about people who have the knowledge of the truth. People that is gone before us, they didn't have the knowledge of that truth. But the Father's pouring it out to us in this time for all people. He's been pouring it out. There again, the reason why we have 2 million books, the reason why we have many, many books written about the end time that's all scattered everywhere, because they don't even know what this means. They don't even have a clue that man and beast were created on the same day. They don't even have a clue that there's a fine line that tells you the image of Elohim or the image of the beast, and it has to do with this day right here, the seventh day. And then it goes on into the feast, because these are Moedims also. Amen. Hey.
I'm going to throw out that seven or Sheba is also oath.
Yeah.
When you connect oath or covenant or wedding to seven and to the seventh.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a coincidence.
No, it's no coincidence. That's right. There's no coincidence. But
that's why Shavuot is 7 weeks after the count.
That's right. So you see how all of this ties together, because the Father is showing us one big picture. But he showed us in the beginning when he did something, when he created enmity between the woman and the serpent. You have to know that the very same enmity that he created then is still there in the book of Revelation. And this is what we're dealing with. Nothing's changed. The only thing has changed is Daniel 7, when he said there will come a pompous one, he comes to change times and law. Whenever the pompous one, who's the pompous one? The seed of the serpent. When the seed of the serpent come and move the day of rest to one day, back to day one on first day, then guess what? He's changing times. And then when you're saying that you don't have to, you can eat what you want to, you can marry who you want to, and you can do all these things, they're changing law. This is not anything to do with culture. Forget culture. The scripture's not written for culture. It's written for obedient people. It's written for his people. It's written for people who are made in his image. You see what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with the different cultures of the world and what they think of what needs to happen. This is the beautiful thing. And so when Satan, when the seed of the serpent took away the day of rest and moved it to the worship day to first day, he went from the spiritual to the physical. And this is why you have to have 5 things to be wealthy, 5 things to get out of debt, 22 things to have a good marriage. You have to have all these things because you're trying to do it from a psychological mind, not the spirit. Yes?
When he moved it to the first day of the week, he made it common.
He made it common. That's right. That's right. And that's what you do, because that's the deception. In the day that you eat, you will not do what? Surely die. What does it say when you violate Shabbat? What does the Torah say is the penalty?
Death.
And he changed it from here to here. And so what's been happening to the body of Messiah spiritually? They've been dying ever since. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to be good Christians by knowledge. We're trying to be good Christians. We're trying to be good people. by trying to do good things. But yet, the Spirit comes from the very creation that He created us to be. It's so hard to be a believer acting like a beast. And that's why I believe that there's a warring going on in our lives, because we're constantly, don't know it, we don't realize it, but a lot of times we're in a beast nature. That's why we was talking about passions. That's why I was talking about Korah. When Korah, whenever he went to sow discord, he went to the sons of Reuben. He goes to the sons of Reuben and he uses something. You know what? I can come to you, Reuben, because I can reestablish you back to being top dog. With me, of course. But you can come back and be. So he goes after his vulnerabilities. He goes after his passions. And he goes to where he's very vulnerable on these things. So with that said, I thought that when Halisa brought these little things out, it is so very interesting, because if you don't understand the foundations, you don't even know. We could be walking, and I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about me. If I'm walking in a beast nature and I don't know it, I'm going to struggle in my life until finally ding dong and a light goes on or something. But this is why the scripture is so important. This is why feast days are so important. If Passover is on the 14th of Nisan, then guess when it is? On the 14th of Nisan. And I've known different, not picking on, not saying anything, because I know some Torah teachers, sometimes they wrangle with the 13th and whatever. Or the 15th, I've heard that too, because of the New Testament. Here's the thing. If he did not die on the 14th of Nisan, then he's not the Lamb. He's not the Lamb. You can't die on another day when the whole Torah tells you that the Lamb was given on a particular time. It has to be on that time. If you just start moving it around, then he might as well die on December the 25th. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in fact, nothing matters. This all matters. The day of rest matters. I mean, it so matters. Shabbat so matters. The feast so matter. The 14th, I mean, when we start at the Shabbat is the first of the feast, and right after that, what do we have? We have Passover. Pesach matters. How do we line up and get to Shavuot? And then how do we get to Sukkot? When the woman is supposed to be ready for her, when we don't even... You see, when we're operating like... He is not coming back for a beast nature bride. Amen. He's coming back to somebody made in the image of his Father. Amen. And that's what he's coming back for. Amen. Yeah, you can clap. Okay. This is the reason why I wanted to do Psalms 101, and I'm going to finish up with this. It's only 8 verses, but I want this to be a declaration when you read it every day. All right, it says, a psalm of David. It says, I will sing of steadfast love and justice. This is what we have to be. We have to be steadfast in love and justice. To you, O Yahweh, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. O, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. So we're going to meditate and we're going to walk. This is what he's saying. We're going to sing, we're going to love, we love justice, we love the way of the blameless. We're not taking sides of those who are wrong and all of that. And he's saying, and in the integrity of my heart, within my house. Now, when I'm reading these things, I want you to catch the word, tongues, eyes, heart, feet, hands, anything that has to do with some of this up here. Because look what he says next. He said, I will not set before my what? Eyes. Anything that is worthless. That's a tall order. Because I don't even know if you can turn TV on without something worthless coming on. Amen. But he is saying, I will not set before my eyes anything worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. This work of those who fall away fits in with the feet that run to shed innocent blood. Verse 4, what kind of heart? A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders, did we sort of talk about slander? Whoever slanders, there's that lying tongue. That's that false witness. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Now, I'm not saying go out there and kill somebody. But what I'm saying is this right here, when you're around slander, do not participate. You do not participate. You stand up and you let people, whoa. Now, we've crossed the line here. Remember what slander is? It's a lie with the intent to defame somebody's character. That's what slander is. Whoever has a what kind of look? A haughty look or haughty eyes. I mean, that's like, just spelled it right out for us. And an arrogant heart, I will not endure. David is saying here, you know what he's doing? He's pulling out Proverbs 6. He's pulling out here and he's seeing the things that are an abomination that Yahweh hates. And he's addressing, I'm not going to allow myself to be pulled in to this trap. And this is what he's praying. Whoever has a haughty look or an arrogant heart, I will not endure. Regardless if they like me or not. Okay, I sort of put that one in there. Because see, here's what can happen. When you get in a workplace, I'm not talking about here at River of Life. You get in a workplace and you got your boss rolls in there. He wants to show you something vile on his phone. Or he does a crude joke or whatever and he wants you to laugh. And then the thing about it is, if you don't do it, and then you know what I'm saying? You have to stand up and say, no, that ain't who I am. You know what I'm saying? I'm just respectfully just letting you to respect me. I respect you for what you need to respect me. You just can't, you just can't do that. This is what David is saying here. This has to be, I will not endure this. What does he say in verse 6? He says, I will look with favor on the faithful in the land. What does that mean? Those who do righteousness. Those who walk pure and upright and blameless. He said, I will look with favor upon these people, and that they may dwell with me. And this is what the Father's saying. He's looking for the people, the righteous, to dwell with him. The people that's created in the image of Elohim, not the people that's created in the image of the beast. Who walks in the way that is blameless, he shall minister to me. Verse 7, no one who practices deceit, that's all 7 of the abominations, shall dwell in my house. What is that? We always have that one in Joshua. It's always on everybody's, you know, you go through home interior and it's for me and my house. And then, you know, and that's just hanging on the wall. But he's saying here, he was saying that the people who practices deceit shall not dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. So now you see lying tongue. So you see the abominations, you see the lying tongue. And then he says this, morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked of the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of Yahweh. So what I thought we would do is what we could do is every day, if you could just read that, meditate on it, and then if you'll do it, maybe in the morning when you start your day, morning by morning, start it in the morning. When you read that, then as you go through your day, see if any of these areas pop up in your life. I promise you, when you start meditating on it, you will have plenty of opportunities to overcome. Amen. Amen. Very good. Yes. Yes.
When you said in the morning on verse 8, it's in my scripture, it says, in the morning I uproot all the wrong of the land. And if anything is wrong with us and we're reading this, in the morning, Father, uproot anything that's in there that is not of you.
Amen. Very good. Great, great point.
I would recommend setting an alarm on your phone and repeat it, you know, Sunday
through
Friday.
That's right. You can set it, yeah, so just like we do our 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. If you want to set an alarm on your phone just to do it. I'm just saying, I just felt led for us to do it. I'm not getting anybody to make a vow or whatever. I'm just asking you. Somebody may forget. But if you would just go through Psalms 101, because I really believe, because guys, I'm just telling you this. I'm sitting up here and I'm talking to myself first, okay? I'm just letting you know this. We can't get to where we're in the image of Elohim if we're in a beast nature. And so all I'm going to do is I'm going to just sit up here and tell you good things to do. I don't have any steps. The Torah has the steps. All I can do is point out and shepherd and try to lead is all I can do. What I can do is plead or I can do whatever, but it's so important that we know, I don't care what age you are or whatever's happening in your life or what it, the thing about it is if we don't have the right foundation, then all I'm doing is just talking. And it's just going out in the airwaves and it's going into the acoustical tiles and it's just absorbed there. You know, but this is really, the Father wants us to change. He wants us to be made. He wants us to be, I'm just saying, think about these four women. We're going to get to these four women in Revelation. I don't have a clue how long it's going to take us to get through this workbook, because I've been in chapter one this whole time. But chapter two starts off this other portion. But I'm just saying, I understand now, well, we've been understanding this. It's just, it's so important how we start. It's so important that we realize that if we got things in our life that's going on that doesn't need to be there, we got to ditch it. If we don't do that, then we're just going through the motions. And then you end up being either a five wise or a five foolish. And I know I can't go against Scripture, but I'd like 10 wise. You know what I mean? And no foolish. And that's what the goal is. And I teach it, and I believe it like that can happen. And I believe that it can happen. But it's up to all of us together to realize and understand that what His Word means is, especially with this coming down the pike like it is. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just telling you, and I'll say it again in closing, I don't care who wins the election. It ain't over in November. Okay? It ain't over in November. This is where we live, where we live. I don't know about the rest of the world, where we live. It is about as divisive and division of anything that I've ever seen in my life. I'm 61 years old. I've been through a lot of presidents. And the thing about it is I've known that going through these presidents up until this last time, whenever a president became president, Republican, Democrat, donkey, or whatever the other one is, elephant, it didn't matter. The people said, the people spoke. The majority spoke, and they got behind, and they prayed for their president. They prayed for the office. Even though they disagreed, they prayed for the office of the man to make wise decisions. That ain't an option no more. There's so much hatred and division. And you know what? I mean, when you're trying to destroy the police, the people who are out there to protect and serve, it is, that's right, you're destroying the law. But listen, are there bad apples everywhere? I don't care where you go to work. I don't care what you do. And guess what? Even in, believe it or not, in pews, there's bad apples. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, like, it's just the way it is. And you know what? I've been a bad apple every now and then. I eat apple fritters. I've been a bad apple. But I'm just saying, November ain't going to fix it, guys. Our mindset, we better get our mindset to where it needs to be. Because if we don't, it is a thus saith Yahweh now moment for us. It is. Because it ain't looking good, you know. But I'm just saying, Jezebel, that spirit. And let me say this for the ladies. Jezebel is a spirit. Now, there was a woman named Jezebel, and it was a spirit, but there's been a lot of men who have a Jezebel spirit. Okay, that's a spirit. We ain't picking on a woman. Because guess what? I'm part of the body of Messiah, and I'm as male as I can be, but they call us the woman. Okay, we're not picking on anybody or any gender here. But what I'm saying is it is important. And the Father, what seed are we? That's what He's asking the question of us, and we need to make sure, because He's given that to us to make sure that we make our calling and election sure. Amen? Amen. Okay, thank you, guys.